All right, if you have your Bible and want to take those out, I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 2. If you don't have your Bible with you, feel free to use your phone. If you have the Bible app on your phone, you can actually go under your menu in the Bible app and click on events, and you'll see the Grove Church, and you can find all the scripture and everything is preloaded in there for you. So thank you so much again just for being here. And as we jump into scripture, I know you're probably thinking, like, you look at your watch, you see what time it is, you're like, the guy's just now getting ready to preach. I promise you'll be out of here by 1 o'clock, so just hang in there. No, I'm kidding. But I will be a little shorter this morning, but I do want to challenge us as we're walking through, as David said a minute ago, our series theme for December is called An Ugly Sweater Kind of Christmas. And we've been playing off this idea of how kind of these Christmas sweaters have evolved over the years. It goes from being that gift that you just never wanted to receive, and as you shake your box on Christmas morning and you're like, oh, it's clothes, I don't want it, you know, and throw it aside as a kid growing up, to now the sweaters are kind of like it's for some of us, like it's thing that you wear. They're popular. There's websites devoted all the designing your own sweaters, and it's just an interesting concept to see how something that's seemingly ugly has been repurposed and can even now tell a story kind of about who you are. So I see many of you are wearing your ugly sweaters this morning. I'm sure there's a story or a reason maybe why you picked that certain sweater that you're wearing. And so for mine, it's pretty simple. Santa Claus is at the beach. One thing that I value is just being able to have a kind of a change of pace. And so things we look forward to as a family every year is just kind of that change of pace, whether it's going to the beach is nice. That doesn't always happen, but whether it's going to the beach or if it's just a change of pace for a day, that's good. So Santa hanging out on the beach for me, like, that just reflects something that I value. But probably even more so, this is probably the real reason why I got this sweater. It was the cheapest one I could find. And so I found it on Amazon for about $15. I was like, Santa on the beach, that's cool, but it's $15. So that works really well. So I'm a cheapo tightwad. So, but anyway, but my point is, sweaters always tell a story. That's kind of why we wear them sometimes. They're there, they can tell a story. And so this morning, we're going to jump into the scripture passage this morning. And as the holidays are here, and there's probably a whole lot of things running through your head. We know we're, 9 days away from Christmas or so. And so it's coming, right? Anybody got all your shopping done? Who's done? You're the good ones, okay? Two of you, that's great. The rest of us are playing catch up. Like, we got 9 days to get it done. So it's like you feel you got all these things running through your head. What dinners do I have to go to? Where do I have to be today, this week? You know, you got all this stuff coming, and it's there. And in the midst of all of that, it's easy, so easy for us just to forget what the season is all about. But really, I think this season is just kind of a reflection of our lives just on a day-to-day basis. We get so busy and things get going, and it's so easy for us to lose focus on what life is really all about and what God has for us. And so whether we're talking about the Christmas season or really any season of our life, I want to just kind of share a challenge with you this morning that I think is one of those easier said than done, but if we can learn to do it, even in a busy season like the season that we're in, I think we're going to see great things in our relationship with God. We're going to get to know Him more. But it really all begins with this. And so this is kind of our big idea this morning, if you're taking notes or want to follow along in that way, is this right here. My challenge for you is that I want you to listen for the moments when God speaks. Listen for the moments when God speaks. Because sometimes as we're going through life, maybe as we're in the holidays, there's some ugliness that's there. There's some hurt, there's some pain, there's some things that maybe you're feeling right now that you wish you weren't feeling. And I would just say to you this morning, like, I believe with everything that I have, like, God wants to speak into that. Maybe, like, this is great. This is good. You're thinking about all that you're going to get to eat over the next few days, and you're excited and you're ready. Like, it's Christmas time, favorite time of the year, and you're everything's great. I think God wants to speak into that too. And maybe you're somewhere in the middle, not even really for sure. And maybe it's not even about this season. Maybe 2018, you're just ready for it to be over with and 2019 to get here. So I don't know what this year has been like or what this month has been like or what this season's been like, whether good or bad, but here's what I do know. I do believe that God wants to speak into that. And He wants us to open up our hearts and hear that. And so we started talking 2 weeks ago about kind of the context of what Jesus was born into. Because we get all the feel-good pieces of the Christmas story that we're all familiar with. But the truth is, we looked at 2 weeks ago, Jesus was actually born into a really messed up culture. A lot of sinfulness, a lot of brokenness, just a lot of people not following God, much like our culture today. And Jesus showed up right in the middle of that. And so we said that's good news for us, because if Jesus would show up in that kind of context 2,000 years ago, guess what? He's the same God today, and no matter how much sinfulness or brokenness is there, that's not going to stop Jesus from coming to us. Is that not good news this morning? Like, that doesn't stop Jesus. But my sinfulness and my brokenness and your sinfulness and your brokenness will stop us from going to Jesus. But he's big enough, he can overcome that if we'll let him. So we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Yesterday we talked about letting Jesus be the, last week we talked about letting Jesus be the hero in our story. We talked about another birth that happened around the birth of Jesus. It was the birth of a guy named John. And John's really whole purpose in living was to point people to Jesus. It wasn't for John to be the hero of the story, but it was for Jesus to be the hero of the story. And so we kind of unpacked that and looked at that and learned that our role, our calling, is to let Jesus be the hero of our story, which if Jesus is going to be the hero of the story, guess who can't be the hero of the story? You and me. And so we got to listen to how God wants to speak into that. So with all those things being said, we're going to jump into Luke chapter 2. We're going to take a look at the shepherds this morning and the story that we're somewhat familiar with them and just kind of see maybe how God would speak into where we're at this morning and challenge us underneath this idea of listening for those moments when God speaks. How do we do that? Why is it important? What does it mean? So let's look at this beginning in chapter 2 of Luke and verse 8. It says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" Listen for the moments when God speaks. Here's kind of the first thought under that I want to unpack real quick, is that God speaks in the everyday routine. God speaks in the everyday routine. But even before we unpack that, the fact that God speaks in the everyday routine, we have to understand that God speaks to every person. So he shows up here speaking to these shepherds. Now, any shepherds in the room? I didn't think so, all right? So we don't know what it's like to be a shepherd. We don't really relate to shepherds. So let me give you a little background on how the shepherds were kind of viewed in that culture, because I think God specifically picks out the shepherds to teach us something about him speaking to us. You see, the shepherds in this day and age, they were not highly religious thought of people. These were not like theologically trained experts in the word. Like, they didn't have all the answers. These weren't the high class of society. These weren't the most prominent people in their community. Actually, the shepherds were pretty devalued in their culture. They weren't thought of too much. When you think of ugly sweater, you probably should think of shepherds. And especially these shepherds, because they're the shepherds at night. So it's like, you're so bad, we're going to put you on night shift when all the sheep are sleeping, because we don't trust you enough to watch sheep when they're awake. So they're like, this is like the people that if the Savior of the world was going to be announced, we probably would not pick the shepherds, especially the shepherds on night shift. So what does all that mean for you and me? Well, it means that God wants to speak to every single person, regardless of status, position, how you feel about yourself, what society tells about you, whatever identity you've come to believe about yourself. God wants to speak to you. And I know that can be a little weird, right? I mean, the fact that like the creator of the universe, like he cares about you that much that he actually wants to speak into your life. Like, I know that can be a little weird. That can freak us all out. Like, I'm sure these shepherds were a little freaked out when an angel shows up and starts talking to them. But here we are. We find these everyday people, these shepherds, seemingly nothing in their culture, and God chooses to show up and speak to them. I think for you and I, it's a reminder that God wants to speak to us. But it's interesting, though, also to think about where they show up and speak. It's in their everyday routine. What are these shepherds doing? They're doing what they do every day, right? They're hanging out in the field at night, watching their sheep sleep. Sounds fun, right? And he shows up. He speaks into their everyday routine, them doing what it is that they normally do. See, this is where we get mixed up sometimes in understanding how God wants to work in our lives. We think that the only time that I can hear from God is when I'm here in a church building. And I don't know how we've kind of reached that point in our culture where we think the primary way God speaks to us is through a pastor and on Sunday morning. Now, I don't want to devalue that. There's something very powerful about a gathering of a group of people coming together and wanting to hear God's word and us being in the same room and same hearts and mind and unified. Like, that's a powerful thing that can happen. But if you think that's the only time God wants to speak to you, you are missing out. The creator of the universe wants to be speaking into your everyday routine. We have it on the back of our tech booth. You may see it as you walk out. It says, be the church as you live, work, and play. The first step for you and I to actually be the church and be followers of Jesus as we live, work, and play is for us to understand that the one we follow, Jesus, wants to speak into our lives every single day as we live, work, and play. He wants to bring us into a greater understanding of his presence and the fact that he is here and he is with us. Don't limit yourself and think, wow, I don't really know the Bible that well. I've not been to seminary. I don't really think God can speak to me. And all these things that we come up with. People will say sometimes to me, they'll be like, I have such a hard time hearing from God. I don't think that God would ever speak to me. And usually the first question I ask is, do you have a Bible? Because the Bible is God's word. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says that the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of the spirit, the joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you want to hear from God, it starts with reading what he's already spoke. Because anything that God will say to you is going to flow in line with what he's already spoken. It may be a new revelation to you, but it's not going to be new in regards to him unlocking something that he's not already written. When God speaks, he's going to speak about what he's already spoken about. But we've got to get to know that voice. We've got to be tuned in. And Jesus says, like, if you're my sheep, he says in John chapter 10, I think it's verse 27. He says, if you're my sheep, he said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. God wants you to be familiar with his voice. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to be dialed into him. And so that can't just happen on a Sunday morning. If that's the only time that we think that God can hear, that we can hear from God, then we're just greatly missing out. He wants to speak into your life. But, right, we're busy. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of congestion around us. There's so many things trying to speak into us. Sometimes we clog up our ears to the point that we don't hear from God. It's not that God doesn't want to speak. It's sometimes we've grown hard of hearing what God's trying to speak. So we got to declutter some of that stuff in our lives. And that's a whole nother message for another time. But at the same time, I want to give an important challenge to us to understanding this that God wants to speak into this everyday routine. Go all the way back to the Old Testament, way before Jesus shows up and speaks to some shepherds. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gives his people a command that I think is still relevant for us today. He says this. He says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. He goes on in verse 7, and he says this. He says, you shall teach them to your children. But look at how he says you should teach them. He says, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. Verse 8, he goes on and he continues to unpack this. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. He says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The idea here is what he's saying is that we've got to be we've got to be in tune with God as we live, work, and play, as we're doing what we're doing. So parents, grandparents in the room, don't miss this. If you don't hear anything else this morning, please hear this. The way that you model hearing from God and listening to God in the everyday moments matters to the kids and the grandkids that we're trying to raise. Because that will be the faith that they emulate. And if they see us as parents and grandparents only associating hearing from God with Sunday morning, well, guess what kind of faith they're going to grow up seeing and then living out themselves? It's going to be a Sunday morning centered faith. And you know what? You know what research is showing us right now? With each generation that's coming up, fewer and fewer and fewer are interested in church and God. And I think this is a big reason why. It's because we've taken something that God intends to be a part of our everyday routine, where we're walking in communion with God as we live, work, and play. God shows up and speaks to shepherds in a field. I think he wants to speak to us as we do what we do. So it matters. It matters, church, that we listen for those moments when God wants to speak. But we go on. Let's continue on in the story. Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, it says, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he's pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." Listen for the moments when God speaks. I think he wants to do it in the everyday routines, but here's kind of our part in response to that, is we can't overthink it. We can't overthink it. And I know especially this time of season, like we're sometimes all about overthinking, right? Where I got it. What is that gift? I got to get that gift. It's going to knock it out of the park this year. And you're planning it. And if it's something for your kids, you're like, all right, I'm going to start putting it together at this time. We can get all this done. And has anybody ever, you're in the midst of it. You've overthought it. Like you got every detail covered. And then you get to the end and it's like Christmas Eve night and you're putting the gifts together or whatever you're doing. And then you remember you forgot what? Batteries. Anybody fell victim to the batteries? It's like, batteries and all the big details and everything I was planning out. I overthought this so much. I forgot the most important thing that's going to make this work. Like I forgot the batteries. I forgot the small, simple things. And I say that because I think when God wants to speak to us, I think sometimes we can overthink what it is that he's trying to show us to the point that we really just forget that it's about a relationship with him. And it's just about us hearing from him. And as we hear that, we obey. And the shepherds kind of show us that as here they are, they're here. And now if anybody had an excuse to overthink something, I think it would be these shepherds, right? I mean, just put yourself in their shoes for a minute. They're here. And one angel shows up and starts talking. Weird enough, right? But then it says a multitude of heavenly hosts. I don't know what that is. I don't know what a multitude of heavenly hosts is. It's probably a whole bunch of angels. So I don't know. I mean, just imagine you're hanging out in the field, you're doing your thing, and an angel shows up and starts talking. Go, okay, that's weird. What did I drink earlier or something like that? You know, might be going through your head. But then you're seeing all these things. And then they just probably start looking at each other and like, what is going on? Where did this stuff out of the sky? And there's a multitude of heavenly hosts. Like, what is a multitude of heavenly? I don't know. And I don't know if they start singing or talking. I always think that they're singing, but that would be even really weird too. Now you got all these things just floating in the sky, like singing to you. Like I could have just imagined if anybody had a reason to maybe overthink what was happening here, it was these shepherds. Weird stuff happening. Baby being born. Go follow it. Okay, got it. But that's really what they did. They didn't overthink it. They heard the voice. It was clear. God spoke to them. They heard God speak in the moment. And then they just went. And they did it. And here's what I found sometimes is when it comes to how God speaks to us. Sometimes I think he will speak and it's just very clear and it's very direct. You've probably felt that before, where God's just, it's either a no, not going to happen. It's a yes, this is it. And you just feel it and God speaks really clear and it's kind of abrupt and it's just there. Like, that happens. But I think, at least in my own life, the way I've seen God speak tends to be a little more, it's a little slower. It's a little more progressive. I have to journey with God through a season for a little bit for him to begin speaking and showing me the direction that he wants me to go. Sometimes it's figuring out that still small voice and it takes a little bit of time. But if you want to walk in the ways of God, I think there is a way for you to be able to understand what God's saying. So I'm going to give you a quick acronym that will help you with this. I've shared this before, worded it differently, but if you use the word ways, W-A-Y-S, so if we want to walk in the ways of Jesus, this is a few simple ways to help you process through, like, what is God saying to me? when I hear him speak? Because that should be our desire. We want to obey. We want to hear him. How do we do that? So the W is for words of scripture. Anything that God says to you will be supported by something he said in scripture. There is no impression, no gut feeling, no thought or idea that will ever be from God that is in contradiction to scripture. Just won't happen, no matter what we think about it, how convinced we are that something's right. So words of scripture. So it'll be really hard to understand what God's trying to speak to us about if we're not engaged in scripture. I've already mentioned that. So words of scripture. The A is to ask, and that's a reflection of prayer. And here's what prayer is. Prayer isn't just us talking to God. It's also God talking to us. It's shutting out the noises and having some time just to hear from God. So it's words of scripture. It's asking. Why is for your circumstances? Look at your circumstances and what's going on. Circumstances can't be the only indicator, but I've found when God's leading you in a direction, things will start to happen that you just couldn't make happen. Doors will start to open up that you couldn't open up. And it's as if God's saying, I've got this. I'm showing you just enough so that you can trust me the rest of the way. So it's words of scripture. It's asking in prayer. It's your circumstances. And then the S is to seek counsel. Seek some input from people that you know love Jesus, and they are also themselves in tune with being able to hear those moments when God speaks. And I think if you'll engage those rhythms on a regular basis, you'll grow infinitely in your understanding of God's will. And when you come into those difficult seasons, you'll not have to be overthinking and overanalyzing everything God's trying to tell you to do. You'll already have a process in place that you know leads you to the heart of God. And he speaks through that, and I think scripture shows us that if we use these things, he'll give us more clarity. And we see with the shepherds, I love their obedience. It's instant. It says, with haste, they took off, and they went to see what God had spoken to them about. How eager are we to not just hear from God, but to respond to God? It says they went with haste. They didn't overanalyze it. They didn't lay out every hypothetical scenario about what could or could not happen. I know none of us in here ever do that. We don't ever worry about plan B and C and D, all right? And none of us do that, so we don't have to talk about that. But they just went. They heard from God and they just obeyed. Listen for the moments when God speaks. And I'll end with this. Let's look at what happens when they get there. We see in Luke chapter 2, 17 through 20, it says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Listen for the moments when God speaks. And it's important because here it doesn't stop with us. When God speaks and we respond and we see all that come together, we then get the opportunity to tell the story about what we've experienced. And that's what the shepherds do. They hear, they obey, and they get to tell others about how God has moved in their life. You see, whatever God does in you, he is also intending to do through you. It doesn't just stop with you. We were never meant to be consumers of Jesus. We're to walk with Jesus, and then as we welcome him into our life, as we hear what he's leading us to do, and we respond to that, and we obey that, it flows through us. It's never meant to stop with us. Anything God does in you, he wants to do through you. And we see these shepherds, they begin to tell the story of what God has done and how God has spoke to them. We know it stirs Mary up, and she begins to consider these things. And who knows who else they may have told about what God was doing in their life. See, when you really start walking with Jesus and your relationship gets real, it just starts to come out of you. You're not Bible thumping people and beating them over the head and telling them they're going to go to hell. Like, God shows you how to walk with people. And yeah, you may have to speak truth into them. And as they're wrestling with things, you may have to talk about what it means to walk with Jesus. And if you don't do that, like, here's what could happen. And you may get to the point where you have those conversations, but it just flows out of you naturally where you meet people where they are. You have conversations that are just real. They're not awkward. They're not ugly anymore because they've been repurposed to tell a greater story about the goodness of Jesus. So this morning, If you're here and you're in the midst of goodness and joy, I would say, listen to what God's trying to speak into your heart about. In the midst of goodness and joy, listen to that. If you're going through pain and hurt, like, ask God to speak. Listen for him to speak into the middle of that. If there's confusion and doubt that's running through your head, like, listen for what God wants to speak into that. If there's worry and anxiety and you're just unsettled on how something's going to play out, like, listen for God to speak into that. Because whatever he speaks into you, he's going to do a work in you that's meant to flow through you. And I'll end with this scripture. Paul says to the church in Corinth, I've shared this verse many times. It's a great reminder for what God's doing in our lives. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. I love verse 4. It says, who comforts us in all of our affliction. He wants to speak to us, comfort us, so that, there's a purpose here, to tell a greater story, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort we which ourselves are comforted by God. It's never supposed to be just about us. It's about what God's wanting to do through us. So listen to those moments when God speaks. This is why our kids need to see our faith modeled. This is why your coworkers need to see your faith modeled, because they need to see what it looks like to walk with Jesus, to hear from him, and it not be weird, but it be something that's actually vibrant and life-changing and that can make an impact. That's why Jesus came. That's at the heart of the Christmas story. If you would, just bow your heads just for a moment. The team's going to come up and get ready to lead us in one final song. And I'm just going to pray over us this morning. And I just want to challenge you right now to begin to listen in to what God's trying to speak to you about. Maybe he already has. Maybe he's just nudged your heart. Maybe he's just filled your heart with some joy. Kids have a way of doing that when you just see the joy radiating out of kids' lives. Us as adults, we overcomplicate this thing called life sometimes. And God just uses the simplicity of children to remind us about what's good and what matters most. So I don't know how God's speaking into you, but he knows what he wants to say to you. So I'm just going to pray over us and pray that you hear from him. And at the end of the day, if all that's left is Jesus speaking into you, my prayer is that will be enough. That if he's all that remains, that will be enough. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that in the midst of whatever ugliness we're going through, whatever goodness we're going through, whatever story is being written about the season of life that we're in, you want to speak into that, which means you're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. If everything else fades away, if everything else walks away, if everything else seems to crumble around us, you will speak. You will be present. You will be active. You will not be distant. You tell us in your word that you will not forsake us. So right now in these moments, God, we ask you to be in our midst, not just in this building, but in our lives. As we leave from this place, as we live, work, and play, as we do the things that we'll do, may we do it and acknowledge you and sense you and be led by you. Because God, without you, we are nothing. So we need you. Especially, God, in those seasons when you're all that we have. Settle things in our heart, God, that we may be content with that. Thank you, God, for this time we've had together this morning. And I pray as we declare one final song together this morning, that it won't just be words that we say because they're on a screen, but God, that they could become desires of our heart, things that we believe at the core of who we are. We thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for loving us first. Because if it hadn't been for that, we'd have probably never got around to loving you. So thank you, God, for loving us. May you tell your greater story through us as we listen to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.